Those of you who follow what goes on the screen, if you haven't received one of these and you like one, they're this today's guidelines, as it were. So please open your Bibles to John chapter 6. As I said, those of you who following Freester on the back bench over there is the series that we're looking at, Who Do People Say I Am? And each week the sheets that we have left over we add to that so that you can catch up if you've missed something. Now on the front today, this little comic, so to speak, indicates the sort of friends that I have. This is the birthday card that someone sent me a few years ago. But I wonder if it isn't so true. Here's presumably Jesus standing with the fish and the bread, wanting to bless people, and what are they doing? Oh, is this, mercury-infected fish? Is this gluten-free bread? Missing the whole point of who Jesus is, and sometimes we do as well. Miss the whole point of who Jesus is. So, let me ask though, who are the rye bread eaters? No? Oh, just one, Betty. Oh, no, a couple of rye bread eaters. Who are the multi... Oh, over here, your rye bread eaters. Oh, another rye bread. Who are the multi-grains? All right, a few multi-grains. Who are the whole meals? Righto. Who are the sourdoughs? Right. Good, good. Who makes their own? Just one. Oh no, down here we've got a few make your own. We've got a make your own sourdough bread son. He makes his own 3 days. Takes, right. So who's white? Two hands at the back, right. Two hands, righto, yes. Bread. And I guess that most of us have had something this morning. Right, well, this is a story that we've heard many times, I'm sure. It's one of those stories, however, that I feel sad about, because I often feel that we've taken from the Bible, Old and New Testament, we've taken the stories that are a great picture or something exciting, and we've made it a Sunday school story. But actually, we haven't got the significance of what it really means. And so today, in the short time of sermon time, we'll have a look at what this says. I am the bread of life. Which bread? Well, that's up to us, whatever we like to choose. But Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And depending on what translation you've got, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. That's the bread and the water together. Now, right at the start of chapter 6 in verse 4, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Some of you who are Old Testament scholars may have looked at the Passover idea before. It had very, very strict requirements, the Passover, and people, until the temple was destroyed in 70 AD, people went to Jerusalem for the Passover. It's estimated that up to 100,000 people went to Jerusalem for the pilgrimage for the Passover. It was like a big, big festival. It was compulsory if you were a male over 18. It was compulsory to go. And so you gave up quite a bit. You stopped work, you made the journey, and then there were taxes that you paid, and there were ways of celebrating. But that was part of the culture. It was part of the history, and it was passed on in action. It was passed on that everyone gathered, they met, and they got their lamb. So they purchased the sheep, and then it was sacrificed, and then they ate it. You had to have at least 10 people in your grouping so you could gather other people in. You had to eat a piece of the sheep that was at least as big as an olive, which isn't all that much. But of course, if you were not a wealthy person, the more people who were involved, the better it was to share the cost, I guess. And now, you realise as well that if you came into Jerusalem, rent or finding a spot to have the Passover was difficult. If you had relatives, I suppose you all squashed in and that was okay. But if you didn't have relatives, well, you had to find a spot. So that fits in the story. Remember when Jesus said to find the room so that they could hold the Passover? Well, this was all part of the goings-on with what happened, if I call it goings-on. This is all that happened with the Passover. And what did it symbolise? Well, it symbolised when the angel of God passed over and they were delivered out of Egypt. Now, we know that story. That's another Old Testament story where Moses is there and he's told, you're going to take the people out. How on earth am I going to do this? Well, you're going to go to Pharaoh. And in the end, because everything was dying, Pharaoh let them go. Right, we're going. We've got to do something quick. We've got to make some bread to take with us. And off they go. And again, I tell you what, here we've got maybe 60, 70 people. How hard is it going to be to organise a church lunch? How many 100,000 people did poor old Moses have to organise to get mobile and to get going with the cattle, with kids, with mums who are about to have babies? Can you imagine, Tanya, what it was like? No, it just would have been. Anyhow, this is the Passover. They're there in Jerusalem and ready to celebrate. Now, what has Jesus got? Well, the first little bit of the section, as I've said, we've all heard before, and I've just said it to the children. Little boy comes forward, he gives what he's got. Just want to say again, all we need to give to God is what we've got. All we need to give is what we've got. And isn't it amazing that he takes that fish, those fish, and that bread and multiplies it and feeds, how many disciples might there have been? Perhaps 12. How many baskets left over? 12. So I want to say that, friends, when we serve God, there's a fullness for us. All right? When we give to God, collection, there's a fullness. Are we crackly for some reason? Righto. Now, the feeding of the 5,000 was a miracle. Then there comes a walking on water. But after that, we then pick up at verse 22. So if you go to verse 22, and let me read from there. What's happening? Am I doing something wrong? Right. See how we go now. Is that better? Righto. Right, 22. On the next day, the people who remained on the other side of the sea saw that there'd been only one boat, and then they decide to follow Jesus. Verse 25, when they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered, "Truly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of loaves." Tummy full, isn't it amazing? Yep, we'll, so long as we eat, we're happy, we'll forget the spiritual bit. Now, you're going to say to me, well, of course, that's not us. But I think sometimes we follow Jesus for what he will do rather than who he is. Let's get that right. Do we follow Jesus because he is the Son of God, or do we follow him because what we want him to do for us? We need to be careful. We need to be careful. Now, I know that some of you have been through difficult days, difficult times, and it is wonderful, having gone through difficult times, that you continue on with Jesus. I think that's the test of our Christian faith. Not that when everything's going along very happily and wonderfully that we follow, but when things are tough going, we follow. And so he's saying, just be careful. But in verse 35, that's when he says about, "I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you will never go hungry, and if you believe in me, you will not be thirsty." As Peter said, we're not talking literal blood, bread, and Jesus is saying, "I'm not the rye bread or the multigrain, but I am the one upon whom you need to feed." Again, I say, let's make sure we read the Word of God. That's the bread we need to feed on, the Word of God. Other books, fine, but the Word of God is where we see the bread of life. Now, again, continuing on. "Do not labour for the food," in verse 27, "which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life." The food which endures for eternal life. They said to him, "What must we do to be doing the works of God?" That's an interesting question, because for a long time people thought that doing was the answer to salvation. Doing the answer to salvation. But he says, oh no, that's not the answer to salvation, in verse 29. "What must we do?" This is the work of God, Jesus says. This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent. This is God's work, that we believe in Jesus. That's what thrills the heart of God, that we believe in Jesus. The work of God, I've got there underlined, the work of God is to believe. Not to do, but to be. All right? And you've heard that before too. To do, to be. And then they say, oh, we want a sign. We want a sign. What sign do you do? Haven't they just seen him feed 5,000? Was that not enough? Was that not enough? Friends, let me ask, do you ever say that to God? You know, we often have that story of Gideon. Oh, I'll put down a fleece. Oh, look, I'll do it again. Then I'll turn it over. Could that be true of any of us? God, could you just give us a sign? Could you just show me something? Could you just prove something. So that's what they're saying here. We want a sign. We want a sign. Our fathers ate manna in the wilderness, and it's written the bread came from heaven. Now, there was a theory that the Messiah, when he came, would give bread. That he would give bread. How amazing. Do you remember what happened with the bread in the wilderness? What happened with the bread in the wilderness? They came through the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness going around. And they're saying, we are sick. We want some food. God sends down bread. Every day, fresh bread. Uber deliver. Every day. Here's the bread. And they're only allowed to take enough for the day, otherwise it goes mouldy. How wonderful! No cooking! And here's the bread. And what did they say? We want the leeks. We want the garlic. We want to go back to Egypt. Now, bread just by itself every day probably is a bit boring. But they're saying, we're not satisfied with what God's giving. Are you satisfied with God? Are we satisfied with God? Or do we actually want to go back to what life was like, which can be a bit dangerous? If only I wasn't a Christian, at least for tomorrow. Yeah, we sometimes think like that. Anyhow, this was the complaint. In the wilderness, they moaned. Now, this is an interesting little comment here. In verse 31, our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said, truly I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, my Father. My Father. You can get the difference here. The Jew never said, my Father. But Jesus says, my Father. Here's the intimacy of relationship. This is Jesus saying, my Father. We are connected. Whereas the Jew said, our Father. But Jesus then said, I'm going to tell you the truth about this. It wasn't Moses who gave you the bread. It was my Father who gave you the bread. Get your feelings, get your thoughts worked out. Moses, yep, it came down, but it was God who gave it. Let's get that worked out, he says. Moses was just a channel. And I say to each one of us, we're just simply channels, friends. Channels, it's not the bread, but it's the message of God that we channel through us to people. Isn't it? Isn't it, Rose? Yes. We're just, and it's a good illustration because you're the bread lady this afternoon, but we're just the illustration or the demonstration of we channel to people. Now, comes down, the incarnation. Here we have a reminder of the incarnation here this morning. There was a time when churches talked a lot about incarnation. We are the incarnation. We're the incarnate church. Well, I think we always are. We are the people of God. God has come down to us and we are the people out to the world. We mustn't forget that. We mustn't forget that. Now Jesus is in heaven. How wonderful, interceding for us. I now give life. The people say, well, can we have this bread? If you're the living bread, can we have it? Do you remember the woman at the well? She said, can I have this water and then I'll never need to come to the well again? And they're saying, can we have the bread because we'll never need to bake it, eat it, find it again. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am saying to you, I am the bread of life. I'm a bit distracted by this too. Put it back in here where it normally hides. Right. So, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am saying, come to me, believe, not hunger. Now, it's a New Testament theme right through, come to me and come down. So Jesus is saying, I am the one who has come down. And if you want to look through all of those references, you'll find it. And in verse 40, he says this, for this is the will of my Father, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Maxine, you couldn't have said anything better than reminding us about eternity. And that's what Jesus said. Eternal life, belief, present salvation. People have talked for a long time about eternity being in the future. That's rubbish. Eternity has become now if we are followers of Jesus. And that's what he says. We now start an eternal way of living. We now live a different lifestyle. Why? Because where is the Holy Spirit? Now within us. That's right, joy, isn't it? The Spirit of God is now in us. So we have the power to live a new life as his people. Present salvation I've got there, but raised up on the last day. So if we eat the bread of life and take it in, as Peter reminded us, then in fact, on the last day, we will also be raised up to a life that who knows what it is. In John's gospel, salvation is always present. And there's a word there, realised eschatology. It's a big long word, but it really means the last days. And John talks often about the end is actually now. It's already begun. So for all of us who look forward to heaven, it's already begun. It's already begun. We're here this morning with people we'll be living with. Be all right, Jill? Yeah, good, put up with me. A laugh a minute. Oh, yes, well, we'll see. Yeah. Right. Now, there's nothing in the Bible straightforward. I mean, it might be simple, as Peter said, but straightforward. And so what happens? People start disputing. They start to murmur about what actually happened in the wilderness, what really happened, what really went on. The Jews then murmured in verse 41. Because Jesus said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven, they said, isn't this Jesus? We know his mother. We know what happened. We know. And so there's a dispute about that. Independent of what Jesus has said and what he has done, they start disputing about the situation. But then we have the reminder of God's action in salvation. Jesus answered in verse 43, don't murmur amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise that person up on the last day. Friends, are we still praying every day for the coin, the sheep, and the son? I hope so, because we are praying for people, for the Father to link our prayers with the Son and his message. All right? So we should be praying each day for the coin, the Son, the coin, the sheep, and the Son. so that that can come together. There in verse 44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. So God is at work bringing people to himself. We are praying that God will bring people to himself, and hopefully that all comes together. So he says, this is a reminder. We have heard, that's external. Internal, we need to internalise what we have heard and put it into practice. And then Jesus says, again, in verse 47, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, but they died. All right, now do you remember? Although they got the bread from heaven, what happened to that generation in the wilderness? They died because of disobedience. They got the bread from heaven. They got the quail from heaven. So they had the Uber and then they had the Kentucky. And they got both lots. But what they still didn't believe. And they died in the wilderness. How sad. Is there something here for us? Is there the blessing of God that we miss? Is there something that we don't enjoy with the blessing of God? Have a look at us. Well fed, free, secure. Have we missed something of the blessing of God? Are we thankful for what God has given us? These people weren't. They moaned and they groaned. And so Jesus says, he who believes has eternal life already. This is the present tense, a bit more of the Greek lesson. Now and ongoing. If you've believed, yes, you've got it and it's ongoing. I am the living bread. It's interesting, again, we're not going to have another Greek lesson, but simply to say, when Jesus says there in verse 48, I am the bread of life, the living bread, he says, I am the bread, the only bread. That's a strong emphasis in the Greek. I am that bread, I am that only bread. We grasp that? I am the only bread for you to feed on. Don't look back to the manna. That was a different sort of provision. I am now the bread, the only bread. So consume me, in a sense. That's what he's saying. Manna in the wilderness was temporal and it meant death. True bread is Jesus, now sustains us for eternity. Friends, this week, I guess that some of you will probably have Baker's Delight. But I hope along with your Baker's Delight, you have Jesus. That you feed on him. I am, in our series, I am the living bread. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you that Jesus wasn't the manna, because that shriveled up after a day and was gone. We thank you that Jesus is the living bread and it's upon him we feed and are nourished. He is our God. He is our Lord. It's in him we trust. So, Father, whatever bread we eat this week, may it be a reminder to us to just check that we are also eating the living bread. We pray through Jesus. Amen.